Hey, Austin area friends, if you are looking for something really fun to do with me live and in person, I happen to be teaching an aerial yoga event. It's called Levitate, and it's coming up on Saturday, September 30th, 2023. It's at Ying Yoga in Cedar Park, Texas. And it's a combination of an aerial yoga flow practice, and this month's theme will be the root chakra. Each month, we will work our way up the seven chakras. It's an aerial flow practice based on the root chakra this month. A lot of hip stretches, a lot of low body release work, and strengthening work. And then the best part of this class, in my opinion, is you get to lay in the aerial silks like a hammock, and I will guide you through a meditation with live music. I'll have all my various instruments, and I'm more than happy to serenade you. If you're interested, please sign up in advance as there are only eight spots available. You can sign up with the link in the show notes. And if you can't come this month, well, try again next month. It'll be every month, the last Saturday of every month, I will hold this aerial yoga event, of course, with a different theme, a different chakra each time. And I'd really love to see you in person and connect.
Bobbing out in the sun, we welcome everyone. Gave 101, the goal is having fun. I'm happy, like I told ya. I'm stretching out, doing yoga, not stopping till it's over. Don't want the day to be done. I'm happy, like I told ya. I'm stretching out, doing yoga, not stopping till it's over. Don't want the day.
Welcome, friends, to Yoga and Podcast. This show highlights the science and brings the magic of yoga and mind-body practices down to earth for the everyday person to help you live your best life. I'm your host, Ashley Weber, a yoga and Pilates teacher and forever student who is oh so curious about all things yoga and. I'm super excited to share with you this upcoming conversation. Now, let's sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode, y'all. Joining us on today's episode, she is a postpartum doula, prenatal yoga teacher, and she shares the ancient wisdom for motherhood. Please welcome to the show, Julia Alvarez. Hey, Julia, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm so glad you're on the show. You know all about pregnant people and postpartum people. And I'm so excited to share this or just to learn more. I'm a prenatal yoga teacher myself, and I love supporting pregnant people and post-pregnant people. And so I have so many questions to ask you. How did you start this whole journey in the healing arts, in doula work, prenatal work?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was a journey. It was a journey for sure. I always was into yoga growing up. I think I started around high school, and it was always really healing for me. I took to it. I was a dancer growing up, just more so for fun, but it was definitely a creative expression for me. And I was also very spiritual too. So, having yoga, really, I just kind of took to it easily, and felt very at home in a yoga class. So when I started that, I obviously, continued to do so and then started sharing it with people. And, at that time, I was also nannying. So I was always around young families. And I actually started teaching at kids yoga. So I was a kids yoga teacher first, and then had my own journey of, you know, just understanding my menstrual cycle in my 20s and getting into my own womb healing. And, you know, with nannying, and then my clients, my families would have babies and everyone would get pregnant. I just started working with babies and took a doula training, loved it, started attending births, was also doing postpartum work and then started teaching prenatal postpartum yoga. So that's kind of how it evolved.
Wow.
Gradually, of course. And yeah, each year I just feel like I get deeper and deeper into this work. And I can't imagine doing anything else. It really does take over my life in the best way.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a life's calling, like a dharma, right?
I do feel that way. Yeah.
And there's emphasis on Ayurveda in your work, right? So would you care to share for those who don't know, like what Ayurveda is and then how can it be used for healing postpartum? I know that's like going to be a really long answer.
Right. I'll try to give you the shorthand answer for Ayurveda, because it is just like you, it is the sister science of yoga. So there's actually three sister sciences. The other one is Vedic astrology. So of yoga, or of yoga, Ayurveda, and astrology. So Ayurveda is one of the sciences of yoga. So it originated in India over 3,000 years ago, one of the oldest medical systems that's still around today. And it's really, I mean, to give you a shorthanded answer, it's about finding balance in the body, right? Just like even when I teach prenatal yoga or postpartum yoga, it's about finding balance, that union. Yoga means union. So like finding the union, and Ayurveda does that with life around us. So one way Ayurveda shows us how to find balance in the body is by finding balance through doshas, which are different energies that everyone has, but also everything has a dosha. So like seasons have dosha, you know, seasons have doshas, anything can have a dosha. So there's three of them. It's Kapha, Vata, and Pitta, and they all are composed of different elements. So Kapha is earth and water, Vata is ether, which is space and air, and then Pitta is fire and water. So it's finding the balance within the body, and everyone has their own constitution. So I'm very Vata Pitta, so everything I do is grounding. Like I just need earth.
and I bring the earth to the table. I'm Kapha. Like you need a paperweight, I can be that paperweight. Like
there you go. I need the paperweight in my life, because I'm so like, I just feel like I'm actually split down the middle. I'm very much half Pitta, half Vata. So sometimes I'm emotional, you know, and I move fast. Yeah. So as you can see, you know, even with my life, like I move fast. So finding that grounding energy, and that's kind of what Ayurveda is. It's about bringing that balance back to the body by, as I said, I need a lot of Kapha. Like I need that grounding in my life to kind of, yeah, find that balance. So that was kind of a short
yeah.
answer.
Yeah. And well, but you're teaching postpartum people. Yeah. There's different rituals within the Ayurvedic system and yogic practices that helps balance their constitution, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So postpartum is a very Vata time in someone's life, because Vata is, you know, wind or air and space. So if you even think about the postpartum body, there's so much space. I mean, you had, your womb was full, you know, you're growing a womb, your organs have shifted all over your body. And then you give birth, and then there's all that empty space. And even just in terms of like the wind and the air of that change, I mean, such a drastic change in someone's life. So there's a lot of Vata in a postpartum person's body and in their experience. So the Ayurvedic practices can help a postpartum person bring back that grounding, you know, bring back that heat too, because, you know, there is that open space. So bring back some Pitta qualities, backs for them to feel more well-balanced and kind of integrated in their new role as a parent. So that's how Ayurveda comes into my practice, sharing those ways to, you know, balance everything out.
So what would be a couple of those ways?
So nutrition is huge in Ayurveda. And because you are what you eat, right? I always say that. I always say you are what you eat. And it's true. Although in Ayurveda, a lot of times they say you are what you digest, because there is a big part of like you can eat everything, but like, are you actually digesting it and assimilating it? So you are what you eat slash you are what you digest. So food is huge in postpartum healing, just in general. Mm-hmm. And then with Ayurveda, you know, having lots of food. Lots of food because postpartum depletion is definitely a thing. So having lots of food, even if you're deciding to breastfeed, if you're breastfeeding, even more important, healthy fats and grounding foods, warm foods that kind of create that more kapha pitta energy in the body. Mm. Other ways is touch can be very soothing for vata. So massage, postpartum massage. Abhyanga is an Ayurvedic practice, so it's an oil massage. Usually we'll use sesame oil, that's pretty traditional, and that can also be vata pacifying, which means it, you know, pacifies the vata, it balances it out. And then belly wrapping as well, so to belly wrap, and again that just kind of holds postpartum person together, like it holds you together and also helps, you know, the uterus go back into the proper alignment, you know, bringing it back, the uterus back to shape. And it's just, it's also feels like a hug. You know, it's just nice when you're like so open just to have have that together. And then in my practice, I also offer yoni steaming, which isn't traditionally Ayurvedic, but it does promote those qualities that we need. So in terms of warmth and heat, you know, warmth, heat, and moisture as well, because vata can be very dry. So yoni steaming is sitting on a seat usually, and then herbs kind of, and water steam rises to help soothe the perineal area.
I love it. I'm a big herb nerd, and I definitely have gotten down with some yoni steaming, and you're nourishing the root, right? I mean, that there's your root chakras right there. Like, I just think it's such a beautiful practice.
Totally. And yoni steaming has been found, I mean, many traditions have done it traditionally, you know, like over thousands of years. It's actually been found in every continent except for Antarctica. I always say that because see that other than Antarctica,
that's when you need it the most.
I know, right? That's when you need that heat. But yeah, so cultures across the world have practiced some sort of vaginal steaming, especially after birth, which is very fascinating to think about all different traditions and how everyone always, you know, every tradition would warm the mom by having that steam rise up. So healing for after birth in terms of like sutures, you know, itchy, can get very itchy, and even just like lifting the uterus back into place and just having that warmth and that comfort, it can feel really, really nice. I'm a huge, huge advocate for yoni steaming.
That's so cool. I'll have to get back on that yoni steaming train. I forgot about it for a minute.
I know, you know, in the summer, in the summer, it's not as, I don't, you don't want to have too much heat in the body.
That's
so
true. No, it's been brutal.
Yes. Yeah. So that's why we're at herbal bath can come into play. But I love it. I practice it too, especially in the winter.
Yeah. So is it important to start your Ayurvedic practices in the journey of becoming pregnant, like before you get pregnant, during pregnant?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely will help, of course, just in terms of finding that balance in the body. And especially if you are, you know, looking to get your body in an optimal state before conceiving. Some people call it like a premenster, which is like the 3 months before you try to conceive, or like consciously conceiving. So of course, like pregnancy, you know, from the clients I work with, it's such a sensitive time in someone's life. And I've noticed a lot of my students, like my prenatal yoga students, and even postpartum with clients who are reflecting back in their pregnancy, you know, you feel much more in tune with your body naturally, even if you weren't that way before, because you're feeling the kicks, you know, you're feeling all of that, and it's just a lot of new sensations, and you're feeling a lot of things for the first time, so you'll naturally become more aware of your body. And I think when someone's in that point in their life that can, you know, shift you into making maybe more nourishing decisions for yourself. I don't want to say healthier, because like healthy is relative, but making more decisions where you feel more aligned to like your best self, balanced. Mm-hmm. So I think that it can be a good gateway into Ayurveda. I don't think you need to do anything rather than just be who you are. You know, I think that there's a lot of pressure on like having the perfect fertility journey or pregnancy journey and postpartum, but you can, if anything feels good to you, you can kind of draw from any tradition. So yes, of course it'll help. Of course, I'm going to say everyone will love a yoga class. You know, no one's going to regret a yoga class. No one's going to regret eating a very nourishing meal that, you know, pacifies all of your imbalances, of course, but you would be surprised to see how many people are drawn to these types of practices when they are in a heightened state of their life, such as fertility, pregnancy, or postpartum. So I don't know if that answered your question. Kind of did.
Well, you're saying it's just helpful to know your body for long, like be better acquainted with your body, pre-baby or during baby and after baby. And
exactly.
And they're going to appreciate it more in this heightened time of their life.
Mm-hmm. And that's what prenatal yoga is. You know, I think prenatal yoga really is, of course, as we know, as yoga teachers, it's about you knowing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the biggest ways you can prepare for birth is to connect to your baby, you know, connecting to your baby. That's such a big part of my prenatal yoga class. Like if that's all you learned from my class, I'm happy.
I love that. That's so sweet.
It is sweet. And it's true. You know, like it really is true. It's just like having your hands on your womb and just connecting to baby. And like, I think that helps so much, especially just like attending births. I don't attend births as a birth doula anymore, but I did. And even just like having that connection can really help you move through labor.
Oh.
And yeah, not think of it as like a scary thing that happens to you, but a scary thing that you're doing.
Ah.
So I think that connection can really help. You know,
that is so beautiful. Like, it's just such a sweet, like, is beautiful.
It's beautiful. Very beautiful.
I'm just thinking of like a mom. I'm just like visualizing a pregnant moms in class, and it's just.
I know. It's
all,
yeah.
Getting all sappy over here.
I know. It's so sweet. It's so sweet. Yeah, the best.
What do you think society gets wrong sometimes about postpartum people?
I mean, there is so much about pregnancy, right? I mean, even think about if you go to a traditional OB or even a midwife, you have appointments all the time. And then it's like, by the end, you're getting to like once a week, you know, you're seeing everyone and there's so much to do. There's so much you can't do. There's just a lot. Mm-hmm. And then you have the baby and it's this earth-shattering experience, no matter what happens, you know, no matter if it's traumatic, which does happen, whether it's, you know, beautiful, blissful, everything, painless, dare I say, you know, orgasmic. There are people who do have those experiences.
Yeah.
I completely believe in them. Whatever happens, you're left completely changed physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Your family is forever changed. And there isn't much support after that, like dealing with that.
Mm.
There's a lot of support with newborn care. I love babies. You know, I was a nanny. I'm still a nanny. I still nanny part-time. And I love all the babies and I'll hold all the babies. I treasure every moment holding a baby, but there isn't much support on holding the mom and talking to the mom, you know, or talking to the parents and the family, you know, like there really isn't much. They kind of just see you later. They're like, see ya, you know,
yes.
Like we'll see you in 6 weeks for your checkup, where they really just most of the time talk about birth control, you know, that's always what I hear. It's like, they just tried to write me a script and birth control and kicked me out. Of course, that's not every practice.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's not like, how are you doing? How are you adjusting to motherhood? How are you sleeping? How are you sleeping? Not how is the baby sleeping? How are you sleeping? You know, can you rest? What are you eating? What are you feeling any weird sensations? You know, how's your heart? You know, are you feeling like you're getting a regular heartbeat? Mm-hmm. Is there swelling in your body? I mean, there's just so many questions we should be asking postpartum people, and we don't. A lot of times it's, how's the babies? Are they a good sleeper?
Uh-huh. And then that's thing. It.
Like, yeah. Never ask a new family that.
Yeah. Don't ask. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That brings me to my next question about postpartum mood disorders. Do you care to share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I see it all the time in my practice, postpartum mood disorders. I think it's very common because, again, as I mentioned, all those reasons, we really don't ask about the mom or the, you know, the birthing person. We ask about the baby. So of course they're going to feel neglected. Of course, especially even in terms of like, how our society is set up. A lot of people live away from their families, tons of people. You know, I started my doula work in Philadelphia, in Philly. So I still work in Philly, but I was living in Philly at the time. And I had so many of my clients were residents and in the medical field because there's a lot of hospitals and a lot of universities there. So a lot of my families I was working with were people who didn't have family around. Mm-hmm. And that can be so difficult. Or even friends, you know, it's, everyone's kind of busy with their own lives. And a lot of people don't live in communities where you can walk to each other's homes. You know, you have to get into a car, and then it's easy to forget about each other nowadays, you know, unless it's like on a screen, sadly.
Yeah. Well, hyper individualistic society is, a symptom of that. So how can we, just the average individual, like how can we help the pregnant people or the postpartum people in our community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, even in terms of like mood disorders too, like finding that nutrition, like making sure you're hydrated, making sure they're, you know, eating well, good nutritious food, full of vitamins and minerals that the body needs. Is, I mean, because a postpartum body does need extra iron, fats, all of that to supplement from after birth. So eating well, so feeding, eating well, and also like community, like checking in. I think that's really what we can do, is just like, just even listening.
So we should ask the mom how they're doing. If the doctor isn't, or other people aren't,
right,
we should take it amongst ourselves. So when we ask how the baby's doing, remember that the mom is probably not being asked this stuff.
Absolutely. Well. Absolutely. And even just asking, how are you doing? Right. That's all, because it's, of course, you know, babies are cute, and I love babies. I don't want to say, no, I'm not, I don't love babies, but there's just so much focus on the baby. And I'm really hoping that this shifts. You know, I think there is a push because as many people know, our maternal mortality rate is staggering.
Yeah.
For the US, you know, in the US, in some states worse than others, but across the board it is. So I do think that there is more education on that, especially even in terms of, you know, Black and Brown women, any person of color, their rates are even higher. And it really, I feel like there is more evidence coming out. And I feel like this is becoming more of a topic that people are being educated on, but it's still something that we need to talk more about. Like, we need to ask, you know, how are the moms doing? How are they coping? Mm-hmm. And even just listening, making sure they're eating, you know, even childcare does help if they need some sleep. And then of course, that's where I bring my expertise of yoga and meditation and like that healing, gentle movement. And then even also Ayurveda. So keep, you know, reducing vata, of course, as I mentioned earlier. But there's so many different ways that we can help people heal after birth. But the first thing we have to do is talk to people who've had a baby.
Yeah.
Not forget about them.
Yeah. Not forget about them. That is great advice.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go back to you and your yoga journey, because we talked on the phone before this interview and you mentioned that yoga was very healing for you. Would you care to share yoga as your own healing journey? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in my early 20s, I really suffered from depression, mm-hmm. and so I'm definitely more sensitive to mood disorders and even hormonal mood disorders. Mm-hmm. So like premenstrual mood disorders as well. So I think that's also where I just kind of got in touch with womb healing and finding yoga and that movement. And yoga really helped me just listen to myself. Like it really, I mean, I love, again, as I mentioned, I love to move. I love to dance. So I liked that physical expression, but I do that so I can be still with my thoughts, you know, and like, I move to get that stagnation energy out.
Yeah.
As I said, like I move quick. My mind goes quicker than my body. You know, my thoughts race all the time. I'm very anxious by nature. So yeah, just like having that physical practice to kind of like get that energy out helped me kind of sit with my thoughts and not even really judge them, but just be aware of them more so, which I guess is kind of meditation, but just kind of being aware of my thoughts and letting kind of the dust settle and feel more connected to myself, and able to trust myself if something felt off, if I needed more support somewhere, you know, if I needed to make a change in my life and trust that. So that's definitely how yoga helped me personally. It was just being more trusting and more forgiving of myself and just kind of knowing myself. It really has changed everything for me. I mean, it's my greatest peace. Like it's my sanctuary. People think that I'm calm and like well balanced. It's because I do yoga. Like yeah. I'm like this.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. I need my practice. Like I will feel it for sure if I don't.
Oh, I get it. Believe me, I get it. So I couldn't help, I had to bring this up, but yes. In our phone conversation, you mentioned the Yoni Shakti book was so inspiring to you. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about this book and I now feel like I need to know everything about this book. Share me your thoughts with this book.
Yeah, I love Yoni Shakti. I always say it's my Bible. It really is. I have it right there, like on my stand where like people keep a Bible. Like I saw it really is. And it's written by my teacher. I did study with her, Uma Dinsmore Tully. So she lives in the UK, but she travels and teaches everywhere. So I did a Well Women's Yoga therapy training with her. But I was reading this, I found it, I was already teaching women's yoga. I was already doing full moon, new moon circles. I was teaching like a menstrual magic circle for a while. So this is pre-doula life. This is more like in my own healing journey life. But I found this book and I was like, oh my gosh, this is everything my body knew. Like the practices were everything I was doing on my own, but I didn't have a name for it. I didn't even really know it was yogic. You know, it was like a lot of moving in circles and spirals and, you know, just kind of connecting to your body that way and using your pelvis as a cauldron. Like
I love it.
Yeah, it's the best. And also just using yoga as therapy, where like a therapeutic yoga practice, which is really what it was for me and what it is and what it probably will always be for me, is therapeutic, like therapeutic movement, connecting to spirit, connecting to yourself. So I read this book and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And it really goes deep into yoga tradition as well. So mantra, yoga nidra, meditation, tantra, all of that, it really ties into it. I mean, it's like 600 pages, like really thick.
Oh, wow.
I would give it to you, but it's across the room. Well, I'd show you, but that book really inspired me. And I share it in all my teachings of, again, like moving in a spiral rather than a straight line, because in our society, you know, we do live in a patriarchal society and it's very straight line. And I think that's where a lot of my disconnection and my anxiousness and my nervousness and my mistrust in myself came from trying to operate in a straight line.
Oh, you know?
Yeah. Beautiful. Versus a spiral. So that's a big part of my teaching, whether in my Well Women's yoga class, prenatal, postpartum, even like prenatal, it's like all about spirals. Like all we do is hip swirls. You know, it's like, it's really big part of my teaching. Just kind of moving in circles and spirals has been the path for me and for the people that I teach in all areas of their life.
So, I think that's a beautiful take on spirals versus straight lines. I've never heard that before, but now that I think about all my anxious moments, like I'm like, it does make sense. Like that's kind of resonating with me on a personal level right now. I have to sit and think about that. Like all those moments I was told to move in a straight line. Where can we connect with you in the world and online?
Yeah. Well, I'm on Instagram. So my Instagram is julia.yogadoula. And then you can go on my website, it's just juliayogadoula.com. I share a lot about prenatal yoga on my Instagram and postpartum. So I teach online. And then I also offer virtual postpartum sessions, like postpartum planning sessions, which is really about just kind of like setting up yourself for postpartum. So I love doing those. And I also teach in doula in person in New Jersey and Philly. So if you're in that area and you're pregnant, call me.
Cool.
Get my way. Lots of stuff going on.
All right, Julia, thank you so much for joining me today. It was such a pleasure to have you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you receive value from the show, please write us a 5-star review, and or you can text this episode to just one friend who you know will love yoga and podcast. We thank you so much in advance for the huge favor. Word of mouth helps support the show in reaching a greater audience, and we could not grow without you. If you want to connect with us, our email is yogaandpodcast@gmail.com. The and is spelled out, yogaandpodcast@gmail.com. Please follow us on Instagram @yogaandpodcast. We are now on TikTok. The handle is also yogaandpodcast. When you follow us, we will follow you right back on both platforms. Music is by Mama Duke. Graphics, guest booking, and media by me, your host, Ashley Weber. I am so grateful for you. Thank you for listening.